One of the primary characteristics of the end times that the Bible so often speaks about is the unmistakable capacity of so many people to accept deluding influences and therefore to simultaneously reject the plain truth. America, and indeed the entire world, seem to be rushing full steam ahead into a moral abyss, and they are loving it. What can we do as Americans who see this train wreck? What can Bible-believing, born-again Christians do? That is the subject of my conversation with radio host, author, and speaker Jan Markell next in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can listen to every episode on SoaringEagleRadio.com. Or tune in to WTTP-FM in Lima, Ohio, every Saturday and Sunday for this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. Jan Markell is the founder, president, and host of Understanding the Times. Jan was saved under Jewish evangelist Hyman Appleman when she was a child. In Jan's early ministry years, she was a part of the Messianic movement, worked for pro-Israel agencies, and for Jewish evangelism ministries. In 1982, Jan incorporated Olive Tree Ministries, with the purpose and goals to help people understand the times according to the Bible, contend for the faith in Jesus Christ, and help the church stand against deception as watchmen on the wall in these last days. Jan has written numerous books with prominent Christian publishing houses, and she's produced a dozen DVDs. For more information about Jan, Understanding the Times, and Olive Tree Ministries, visit the ministry website at www.olivetreeviews.org. Again, www.olivetreeviews.org. Welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, Jan.
Thank you for having me, Mike. Appreciate it.
Well, it's a blessing that you accepted, and look forward to the conversation very much. And again, I would like to encourage our listeners to go to Jan's ministry website to make use of the wonderful resources available. I've benefited personally over the years from books, tracks, and DVDs that Jan makes available. And again, that website is www.olivetreeviews.org. Jan, one of the greatest services to the church that Understand the Times provides is a consistent and thorough diagnosis and explanation of current events, both in America and in the world, from a biblical and a biblically prophetic perspective. Let's start by telling our listeners how you got started on this most important ministry to the body of Christ.
Well, I'm not sure, Mike. I went into, I started with Jews for Jesus. I started with in ministry doing Jewish evangelism heavily through Jews for Jesus, and that followed a trip to Israel when I was very young, in my 20s. And suddenly after that trip to Israel, life made a whole lot more sense. The Bible made more sense. Certainly eschatology or Bible prophecy made more sense. And I got back from that trip, and Jews for Jesus happened to be ministering in my church, I think the day or two after I got back from that trip. And I went up and talked to them, and then subsequently got involved in that ministry, and later with the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem. And then I put together Olive Tree Ministries in the mid-1980s. And then in the early 2000s, I started Understanding the Times Radio and Understanding the Times Conference Activity. This has spanned a number of years, and as you might know, it also spans a number of ways of doing ministry, because when you start out in the 1980s, you're not doing things electronically. And, of course, today, right, it's just about everything is being done electronically, from
yes,
podcasting to websites, you name it, and it's yes, all electronic. And, oh, my, I mean, the difference when you've done both. And
yes,
you know that when I started out, it took days to get a message somewhere. Now it takes seconds to get a
That's
message
right,
somewhere. Yeah, it's quite amazing.
It is. It really is. And you mentioned the conferences that you do. I'd like to, and I know that it's already passed for this year, but I would like to mm-hmm, highlight that. You do those every year, and I believe they're in October. Is that right, Jan?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that,
correct.
And those are in Eden Prairie, I believe?
Yes, yeah, a suburb of Minneapolis. Yeah. And this past one, just October 15th, And not that I'm trying to relish here in something that's already taken place. It was very successful, but I think it indicates that the remnant is truly seeking to understand the times,
yes,
and to become a watchman on the wall, but also they're excited about the fact that the king is coming. Now, I know the churches have dropped this message completely for lots of reasons, and I cover that on radio quite often,
mm-hmm,
but we had in a venue that holds 4,300, we had 6,000 attendees back in mid-October to hear Amir Sarfati and Graham Lotz, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and White House pressman Bill Koenig. And I only cite this because I think that the churches are missing the boat when they think that their members just aren't interested in this topic. Look, we had traffic backed up on our freeways Saturday morning just trying to get to this church. Now, granted,
wow,
we had an election a month later, which was kind of spooking America.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I think some people wanted to come and get a perspective on that. But my point is, we had people literally trying to get in the building that was overly crowded because they're hungry for the truth.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah, and that's a wonderful point to make, within the contrast or the context of, and we spoke just briefly about this before going on air for our listeners' understanding, but so many churches, you mentioned this, Jan, so many churches are turning away from speaking prophetically, pointing believers to what the Scripture has to say about these end times. And I think that's a tragic mistake on the part of pastors.
Yeah, there's just a few denominations left that will cover this, a few evangelical denominations, and even those are fading. I mean, Calvary Chapel, thankfully, is continuing to lift up the good news that the King is coming, and few other denominations, but
yes,
it's a remnant. It's
it
a remnant,
is.
And this is the biggest difference from when I was growing up in church, and I happened to be a part of a wonderful Baptist church in Minneapolis here, and we had prophecy conferences. We had speakers from Dallas Seminary coming on a regular basis. So I was spoiled as a teenager,
yes,
and a young adult.
Yes.
But those days are gone.
Yes.
Other than remnant churches.
That's absolutely right, and that's how I characterize it as well, Jan. And so go to the website olivetreeviews.org and locate a station. If you're in the Lima area, you can hear Jan on Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, and Sunday evening at 8 p.m., Understanding the Times Radio. We carry your program, Jan, and blessed.
Yeah, thank you for doing so.
Well, we're very blessed. Week by week, very, very good guests that you interview, and so we're very blessed by that.
Well, and I ministered in Lima, Ohio in about 1982, I spoke to a women's group there, and I have fond memories of your area.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Well, maybe one of these days we can have you back and speak here. That would be a great thing to do, Jan. We can talk about that offline.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a great delusion, Jan, and it really has fallen upon the whole world. And of course, we see that in America, in the context in which we live. Now, the recent presidential election, in my view, really pulled back the curtain to reveal mm-hmm. just how far our enemy, how far Satan has advanced his agenda. So I'm wondering if you could share a little bit, what is your take on the election, the results, and what we are seeing now in response to those who oppose Trump?
Well, I think this has been certainly the most interesting election in my lifetime, the most controversial election perhaps in the history of America. It was the most important election in the history of America, I believe, due to the issues of religious freedom. And I think we've got some other issues that have caused God to turn his back on America, from abortion to the gay agenda to our treatment of Israel, which under the progressive agenda, all of these issues have caused a great consternation to Bible-believing Christians. And I know many people were not originally on board with Donald Trump. I think those I talked to felt they had no choice towards the end as he became the nominee of the Republican Party. The Republican Party platform, and I've featured a number of guests on Understanding the Times Radio, from Jack Hibbs to Michelle Bachmann and others who are very politically tuned in.
Yes.
The Republican Party platform was the most conservative party platform, I think, in the history of the Republican Party, and it was drafted heavily by Tony Perkins of my research council. And I had Jack Hibbs and Michelle and talk about it, and I know some are critical of those of us who will talk politics and faith at the same time, and I just feel we have to. I feel, and Jack Hibbs feels as well, that one of the reasons the country is in a mess is because your average church is in a mess, and the average church won't talk about the important issues that are facing America and the world.
Yeah, I agree.
So the platform was wonderfully conservative, pro-Israel, pro-Jerusalem, pro-life and the various things that are so meaningful to us as Christians. I just think it was God's mercy that it turned out as it did. We don't have a perfect man as president-elect. I think we have a man who's going to do his best to turn things around as much as that's possible. Does America have time to become great again? I question that we have time to really turn the Titanic around and become the shining city on a hill that we were in the 1980s. I just think that the eschatological clock has moved along so fast and so far that I still maintain that the rapture is imminent any moment. It could happen during this interview. So I don't believe God's timetable for the end of the age has been set back because of the election. And there are many who feel that now we have a lot more time. And my concern with that kind of thinking, Mike, is that the church is now going to go back to sleep.
Yeah. That I've heard the same thing, Jan, and my response has been consistently, no, now is the time we really need to get busy. If mm-hmm. indeed we have been given a reprieve through the election of Donald Trump, then that is not a reprieve to go back to the status quo, but it's mm-hmm. a reprieve to really roll up our sleeves and get busy sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that really leads into another question that I know our many of our listeners are no doubt thinking. And I want to preface this question with a passage of Scripture, Jan. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, the delusion, the deception spoken of in that verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, relates to the last days, because this section of Scripture speaks about the coming of the Antichrist. Now, since we are witnessing these strong delusions, at least that's my opinion, and the folks that I talk to hold the same view, isn't that a testimony to the validity of the Bible's teaching concerning not just the end times, but also that perhaps the Antichrist and the revealing of the Antichrist is close to coming upon the world stage?
Yes, I have a screenshot of CNN's homepage. This would have been last summer. They have in bold letters across the, this was, I think, maybe July, August, they had in bold letters across their homepage, CNN did, "Is there a man who can restore order?"
Oh, yes, yes, I remember that.
That's a paraphrase.
Yeah.
But, you know, is there a man who can step in and restore order out of the chaos of America? And I think this might have been shortly after police shootings in Dallas and things like that. But the only point is, even the secular world is looking for a man with a plan, a Mr. Fix-It.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he's going to come in and delude most of the world, which is tragic, but that's what's predicted.
Yes.
Because we hear so much about this end time strong delusion. And I've talked on air a lot about that with former U.S. Representative to Congress, Michelle Bachmann, and some of the things that are deluding influence. I mean, for instance, global warming is more frightening than radical Islam.
Yes.
I mean, you
Isn't
can see how the mind is being twisted here, and then evil being called good and good being called evil. I mean, you have 99% of all the immigrants coming from the Middle East are Muslim. 1% are Christians.
Yes.
What kind of delusion is that? We import those that could turn against us and destroy the country, and we ignore the Christians who are being burned alive and crucified in the Middle East. So life makes very little sense anymore unless you look at it from a biblical perspective. That's what this ministry tries to do and help people do all the time.
Yes, and understanding the times does exactly that, Jan. If someone were to ask me to state in one sentence what understanding the times does, that is exactly what they do. It helps people to interpret and understand world's events through a biblical lens, and I think you're doing a great service to the body of believers in what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And you know, it is understandable from a biblical perspective. Otherwise, it makes no sense whatsoever. Just what I just said makes no sense. That global warming is more serious than radical Islam. Nothing would make sense without the biblical perspective that we have, and we're blessed to have.
Well, and another example before we move on, Jan. Just yesterday evening, on my Twitter feed, someone had tweeted to President Obama that they were asking him to step in and save our democracy from the fascism of Trump by declaring martial law.
Yes. Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I was reading.
People believe it.
Yes, they do.
They believe with all their heart what they're saying, and they believe that life as we know it is about to change and change for evil. And then you know anything. It's just the opposite, I believe, but they are so deluded, and some of this is propaganda of education over the last 100 years.
Yeah.
But the point is, they believe the lies.
Yes, they sure do. You know, as soon as we start talking about prophecy, though, and warning people about the prophetic implications of events, we're the ones that are labeled as alarmists or doom and gloomers, and that's just a couple of the nice things that people say. What's surprising to me, Jan, is that many of these criticisms and even the ugly attacks come from those who claim to be believers, those that claim to have a church affiliation. Has that been your experience, too?
We get plenty of pushback here. I get the most frequent email I get, Mike, is where can I find a good church in you fill in the blank town? That I get many times a week, and some folks have said that they've tried every church in their town that's an option, and they just can't seem to find one. I think the second most frequent assault I get, I happen to believe in a pre-trib rapture, and I have been called the president of the Flat Earth Society for believing in a pre-trib rapture. And sadly, with those kinds of attacks, matter of fact, all of the attacks that come against this ministry, none of them are done in love. None of them. They are done in the most hostile manner possible, and it's shocking that Christians have sunk to this so low that they can insult, they can denigrate, they can accuse, and have no second thoughts about it. It's just something else.
Yeah. And I've been around long enough, Jan, that I remember a day when that just was not the case, that we treated each other with charity, even if we disagreed on these issues. Yeah, and especially the non-salvific issues. I could tell you, and I tell people this all the time, I'm not going to argue with you over the timing of the rapture. The fact is that the rapture is taught in the Scripture. The real disagreement is the timing. So why are we treating each other as if we're unbelievers simply because we have a different interpretation of the timing of the rapture? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and I don't understand that either. It is a secondary issue, though, of course, in my world, it's very important.
Absolutely.
But it is a secondary issue. And there are some prominent voices out there. There's a four-hour film made by a particular ministry that's intended to call all of us clowns who believe in the pre-trib rapture. And again, And then it addresses us in the most denigrating fashion you can possibly imagine, which is just tragic. But, you know, sometimes I wonder if that 2 Timothy 3 character traits have kicked in, where end time character would be kind of portrayed as lovers of self and arrogant, proud, boastful, just all of the things that 2 Timothy 3 outlines, and that's really written to the church. Sometimes I hasn't kicked in, and that's why we see such a... And I think we saw some of that in the presidential election as each candidate got up and bragged about himself or herself and denigrated the other candidates. And I just think that we have lost brotherly love here in the 21st century. It's really kind of a tragic situation.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that, and I know exactly what you're talking about, the other DVD. There was a debate between that gentleman and Doug Stauffer, and I thought that it was a very good debate. It really laid out the beliefs on from both perspectives, and I thought Doug did very well in presenting the pre-trib rapture viewpoint. Now, but I also want to call people's attention to Pastor Billy Crone. I know you're familiar with him too, Jan.
I tape him for radio tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's
a
good segue then to this. I'll just mention his book and DVD set, The Rapture, Don't Be Deceived, and I'll be releasing my interview with Billy soon, but I think you're going to have a wonderful conversation about that, and you cannot avoid, if you're going to talk to Billy, you can't avoid talking about the pre-tribulation of rapture.
Yeah, we're going to spend most of our time on that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's, you know what, Jan, you recently wrote an article entitled, So Is the Rapture Now on Hold? And you alluded to that earlier, that we should not be mistaken to think that God has hit the pause button on his eternal timeline. And I want to quote a portion of the article that you wrote for our listeners, and then I'll have you weigh in. Here's the quote from Jan's recent article, and you can find this on her website, olivetreeviews.org. org. And here's the quote. It's true that an 8-year national nightmare is ending. And I read that sentence. I went, hallelujah. You're absolutely right. But anyway, it's true that an 8-year national nightmare is ending. It's been a time where Christians have been targeted. America has declined. Lawlessness has abounded. Corruption has been the norm, and aberrations have been celebrated. It would be difficult to explain to a Martian why putting children at risk in transgender bathrooms is cool. So, millions of righteously indignant Americans got fed up with the heavy-handed government telling them how to behave, what to believe, and what light bulbs to buy. They were sickened that the values of Jay-Z, Beyoncé, Katy Perry, and Madonna were not just celebrated, but pushed on the average American. They wept at the future of their children and grandchildren and went to the polls to bring sanity back. The media had told them Hillary Clinton was the slam dunk winner. So had the polls. Clinton fireworks were set for election night, but few could afford health care. Americans were at risk in every big city and small town, and jobs had gone to foreign countries. Voters were ordinary people, chipping away at our own Berlin Wall. They were sick of the glory going to Black Lives Matter when it was obvious that middle American lives didn't matter. We didn't have an election back on November 8th. We had a revolution. End quote. Dan, I believe that President Obama was the most anti-Christian, lawless, narcissist, and I don't say this lightly, but evil. And in my opinion, demonstrated the spirit of Antichrist that America has ever seen.
Yes, and some tragedies happened under his watch, including the virtual decimation of Christianity in the Middle East, which in my mind is the most heartbreaking thing that's happened probably in the last 10 years for sure. It's the destruction of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And good people in various parts of the Middle East. That happened on his watch because he just doesn't care about Christianity and Christians and their suffering. He seems to be an appeaser of all things Islamic. But, you know, Mike, on the other hand, the other side of the coin is some things that had to happen did happen under his watch, which may not have happened under another presidency. I mean, all the end time issues were speeded up here in the last 8 years.
That's true.
And I'm not sure that would have happened without Barack Obama. So he was God's man, though he did incalculable destruction. He was God's man to speed up the time clock for the end of the age or for the end of the church age.
Yes, yeah. Well, I do see in the election of Donald Trump, I do see personally that as an answer to the cry of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of believers asking God to deliver us from this. Because if Hillary Clinton would have won, I think that she would have been even worse than Barack Obama. I think her mandate would have been to finish us off.
Yes. Programming such as mine and yours and other good programming, good ministries, I think would have been shut down. My co-host Eric Barger and I did a clip. We did a segment this past weekend on Understanding the Times Radio. It's posted at olivetreeviews.org, and they can go to Radio Complete Archives for this past weekend. And we talked, and we had to talk how do I want to say it, gently and not use specifics, about what could have entered the Oval Office. And some listeners will not believe this, but because John Podesta and some others in her campaign were involved in literal blatant Satanism, that could have entered the Oval Office. And I think God said, enough. I'm not going to allow this to continue. And he put an end to that kind of bloodshed that could have come into the Oval Office. Because these people, and you can look, just Google it online, folks, spirit cooking, that's all you have to look for.
Yes.
It's blatant Satanism by these aides of Hillary Clinton, and that's how serious. You know, my people used to say to me before the election, she could be worse than Barack Obama, and that was hard to fathom. But this is why she could have been worse than Barack Obama. It is the occult factor.
Yes, that's absolutely true, Jan. The evidence of that, one of the major pieces of evidence for the truthfulness of what you've just stated, and it and listen, folks, I think all of you listening to this episode understand that that Jan was being very, very kind, and she could have been much more frank in her evaluation of some of the things going on. But I think the proof of that is the rally by the mainstream media, all of the television networks, all of the major newspapers, all of the major radio programs, the rally around this idea, this concept, this new narrative and script that anyone who speaks about the occultic connections, the Luciferian activities of Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and that whole crowd, that they are all fake news. We're all spreading lies and rumors with no substantiation. And I find the across-the-board support of this new talking point as proof that we've uncovered something here. And I think that was the hand of God, as you stated eloquently, to pull back the curtain and expose this for Americans. And we rose up and said, no, we will not. And it was such an overwhelming rebuke to the Luciferians, Jan, that they could not even overcome it by cheating during the election process, which we all know happens.
Well, and they've been trying to overturn the election even right up to the very, 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 very last minute through influencing electors in various states. That's not going to be successful. But the devil doesn't give up. But there were just some shocking things that took place during that election. And again, all of it's available online. Folks can check it out for themselves. And I encourage them to do so. However, it's not very edifying. And as Eric and I discussed it on air this past weekend, we had to tone it down plenty because it's not edifying. But, you know, it's the Bible talks about end time rise of evil. It's just we didn't expect it to be in the Oval Office. And that's what almost happened. Almost happened.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, and it is. It is very difficult to talk about those things because, as you've stated, it is not edifying at all. In fact, it is peering into the darkness, into the evil, and it's very troubling for born again believers, the Spirit of Christ living in us, to consider these kinds of things. So, yeah, that is a very difficult thing to do. But I appreciate you and Eric tackling that, and that is that episode archived on Olive Tree Views?
It's at our Complete Archives. You just go to radio and then Complete Archives, and it's from this past weekend, so that's up there forever and ever and ever. We just talked about it Saturday and Sunday here on Understanding the Times Radio.
Okay, yep, I'm looking at it published today. It's put out there today. Mm-hmm. So you can go to the website, olivetreeviews.org, and go under the radio and Complete Archives. And that conversation between Jan and Eric is out there for our listeners to listen to. Well, Jan, anything else that's new projects that you're embarking on or in the process of doing you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, we are going to have a conference fall 2017, October 7th. Again, that'll be right outside of Minneapolis. A one-day event with Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and Michelle Bachman, and yours truly. And again, it's we call it understanding the times. We do stress eschatology or prophecy, but we do hit some other topics that are current events as well that may not be quite so blatant eschatology. So I don't call it a prophecy conference. But again, because the church is silent, we get attendees from all across America because they can't really find, you know, the one thing they often state that they really appreciate is being in a facility with so many like-minded believers.
Yes.
Who are all looking and watching and waiting for the Lord's return, because, again, they won't find that in their church or hardly anywhere else. And therefore, they come out, you know, by the thousands to these kinds of events.
Yes.
So I encourage any pastor listening, anybody listening, to go ahead and plan something. It may not, might not bring in thousands and thousands of people, but it will bring in a remnant of believers that will be so thankful that you've taken the risk to go out on a limb and share these truths that the King is coming, and to be excited about it, because we're to comfort one another with these words. And again, going back to the pre-trib rapture, you can't comfort one another by saying, hey, we got to look for the Antichrist first. So
right.
Let's keep our eye out and try to figure out who he is, because he comes first. That's baloney.
Yeah.
That's not a part of the pre-trib picture.
Right. That's right. And folks, you can go to Jan's website, olivetreeviews.org, and click on the button for conferences, and you're able to order previous conference DVDs with all of the messages.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the website right now, Jan, and it goes all the way back to 2012.
Yeah.
So from that point forward, all of those DVDs are available for your order and edification. Well, Jan,
yep.
I very much appreciate you being on the show with me today, and I hope that we can do this again real soon.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for what you're doing there here in Middle America, just as I'm doing in Middle America. And remember, it's Middle America that turned this election around back in November. It may not be seen as real relevant to some people in the across the country, but this is the heartland of America, you there in Ohio, and,
yes.
and I'm in the Twin Cities. And there are God-fearing Christians who love God, love the country, and who are patriotic in every way. And I think they're hungry for the gospel, because some of them aren't getting it. Some of them are just not getting it because they may not be saved, and others because they're in sleepy churches. So
yes.
That's why Christian radio and the kind of outreach we're trying to do is so important.
Yes, amen, Jan. And if you're looking, folks, if you're looking for a church in your area that is being faithful to the Scriptures, then drop Jan a note and ask. If you're in the Minnesota area, I'm sure she would be happy to point you in the right direction. Just click on the contact tab, and I can tell you from personal experience, Jan is very quick to respond to emails. And if you're looking for a church in the Lima area, I encourage you to come visit us at Calvary Chapel of Lima. And you can find us on the web as well. If you're looking for a church anywhere here in the Midwest, drop me a line, PastorMike@woh.rr.com, PastorMike@woh.rr.com. And I'd be happy to assist you in finding a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that you can make your spiritual home. So God bless you today. Thanks for tuning in. And Jan, thank you so much for joining me.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
God bless you, sister.
All right.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and of course follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter @SoaringEagleRad. And listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. You can visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.